Okay, we will call the Aurora Planning Commission meeting to order. It is Tuesday, March 5th of 2024. Would the recorder please call the roll?
7 p.m. Chairman Joseph Schaefer.
Here.
Commissioner Bud Fawcett.
Here.
Commissioner Jonathan Gibson.
Here.
Commissioner Bill Grouch.
Here.
Commissioner Craig McMahon.
Here.
Commissioner Jim Stewart.
Here.
And Commissioner Tyler Messers.
Here.
All right, full house. It's always nice. The next item is the consent agenda, which includes our minutes from last month. Any comments on the minutes?
Move to accept them as written.
Been moved by Mr. Stewart. Second by Mr. Gibson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion carries. Next is item four, visitors wishing to address the Aurora Planning Commission. We have one in the audience and one online.
I'm Martin, yeah.
Okay, so you're the applicant for later?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and then we have Matt online. Matt, would you like to speak about something that is not on the agenda?
No, thank you.
Okay. Nothing in correspondence or new business tonight. So we'll jump right to item seven, which is the type two hearing for the home occupation, HO 2401. This is a public hearing. I like to keep it informal, as you know. So I have a very long script here for a legislative public hearing, which is not what we're doing tonight. We are doing a quasi-judicial public hearing because we're just making a decision about one application, one property, and not a broad legislative thing that covers a larger area and involves more people. I will ask the Planning Commission to declare any conflicts of interest or bias or prejudice. Seeing none, does anyone have objections to the notice or the jurisdiction or the impartiality of any members of the body? Hearing none, this is the important part, okay? If there's anything you want to say or any documents that you want to submit into the record, this meeting is the time to do it because we're likely to finish the hearing and then do what's called deliberation and make a decision. If the decision is unsatisfactory to anyone who participates tonight, they can apply to appeal to the city. I shouldn't say apply to appeal. You can appeal to the city council, who's the city's final decision-making body. In order to appeal, you have to, I mean, you're the applicant, so you have the right to appeal. Mr. Matt, if he would like, is interested in this and wants to appeal, be sure to testify and tell us what you think. Or if you haven't submitted comments already, you submit them to the city recorder right now. Any questions about the procedures? Okay, so what we'll do is we'll have Kurt give the staff report, and then we'll have some potential questions for the Planning Commission to ask him. And then we'll give the applicant an opportunity to speak. And then we'll give Mr. Matt and anyone else who joins an opportunity to speak. And in the event that Mr. Matt is opposed to the application, you'll have an opportunity for rebuttal. After that, we will close the public hearing and deliberate and potentially reach a verbal decision with a written decision to follow. Clear as mud. Okay, Kurt, take it away.
Okay, so we have a type two home occupation permit request before you this evening. The Aurora Municipal Code has basically two types of home occupations. Type one home occupations are basically businesses that from the outside show no evidence of a business being conducted in that home. So home offices, home craft businesses, things like that, Etsy, that kind of thing. where people aren't conducting business with potential customers on site. This particular one is a type 2 home occupation. The applicant has indicated that they will have customers visiting the site, so there will be some evidence of retail sales going on from the home. The applicant has provided complete responses to all the applicable criteria that are in the packet. It's not a typical land use decision in the sense that there are there's actual physical development or construction involved with the proposal. It's just to review any potential impacts to the neighborhood from this particular business that's proposed here. And the way it's described in the application is basically a home mechanics business where the applicant, as I understand it, purchases vehicles, brings them to his garage, fixes them up, adds some value to them, and will be advertising the vehicles for sale online. And then customers will come and visit with him and the product at his home. So the way this basically works is, the applicant has provided their responses as to how they plan on conducting this business. He's provided all the information that shows that he's not going to be doing anything that isn't allowed. And there are conditions of approval recommended in the decision to ensure that. So in the end, since we don't have development plans or site plans in the traditional sense, it's really a matter of if there's anything you see in the application that potentially wouldn't comply with the criteria, the general standards for home occupations, or can't be addressed through the conditional use approval process, then those are the things that you want to pay attention to. Other than that, the recommendation is included in the staff report. In the sample motions that I gave you, there is an error in the second one, which is the one that describes a denial. It describes it doesn't describe the current proposal correctly. So, if that's a motion that anybody's considering, just be sure you're referring to the proposal that you're hearing tonight.
Okay, is that it, Kurt?
That's it. Any questions for me?
Before we go there, I want to acknowledge that Greg Bowen has joined on Zoom. And Greg, I'm going to assume you can hear me. And I just want to let you know, in case you're here for this item, that we're in the middle of a hearing for the application for a home occupation, file number 8024-01, to operate auto sales in a residential neighborhood. We just heard the staff report. The Planning Commission is going to talk to the planner, and then the applicant is going to have a chance to speak, and after that, other folks will have an opportunity to speak as well. Okay? Okay, hearing no objections, we'll go back to questions for Kurt.
What's the location? Street, Yukon.
The location is Yukon Street.
Second house on Seagrass Street.
20737 Yukon Street, Northeast. It's at the far southern end of the R1 district at the south end of town. Right at the edge of the city limit. There's also some pictures of the home in the in that the applicant submitted, kind of showing the size of the garage. The criteria require that all the business is conducted indoors. So the applicant is going to have to bring the vehicles into his garage, basically make all the improvements that he's going to make to the vehicles inside. The customers will have to come inside to complete transactions.
Is there a requirement to notify neighbors?
There's a requirement to notify the neighbors of this application and of this hearing, and that was sent out on February 1st, and that went out to everybody that is within 200 feet of the property. And we didn't receive any comments that I'm aware of in response to that notice.
I have a question for you, Kurt. We have a code that requires a single family residence to have, I believe, a two-car garage. Is that correct? Enclosed car storage for residences?
We require garages, yeah. I don't know if a two-car garage is specifically required.
Okay, well, one or two.
Two indoor parking spaces, probably.
Yeah. So if the business is going to happen in the garage, okay, wouldn't that push the house into non-conforming status?
There's nothing that prevents the applicant to park his personal vehicle in his driveway and do what he's going to do related to the business in the garage. There is a picture in the packet, and I believe it is a three-car garage.
Okay. Yeah, I still feel like if the required parking is going to be used by a business, then that sort of moots the residential parking requirement. You know, it sort of, to me, that makes the residential use of the property non-conforming. Does that make sense to folks? You can't be using the same space for a commercial use and then say it's satisfying my residential requirement.
It depends somewhat on the number of vehicles he has on site.
Well, that's going to change, but again, I think it's written, and you'll have a chance to speak in a minute. But I think it's written that two of the cars. Let me see if I can find it. Is that right, Kurt? Two of the cars will be inside. The maximum garage space that can be utilized is 18 by 28 or 504 square feet. Mm-hmm.
There are calculations that respond to the home occupation criteria in there, yes.
Yeah, and so to me, 18 by 28 is enough for two cars side by side.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. So I think if that's anyhow, my reading of the code is that if you're going to take those spaces that are required by the code for residential parking and you put them to a different use, then you're no longer in compliance with that original rule. Question?
No, I just don't know anybody who hasn't got so much crap in their garage that they can actually park their car in their garage.
But that is a residential use, and I know I'm kind of geeking out a little bit.
We don't know what's going on in that garage.
Where am I parked?
Understood, but if other people are conducting businesses, in my view, it makes the residential use non-conforming. Other questions for Kurt? Okay, hearing none. Introduce yourself. Give us your name and address. And
I'm Martin Young. I live at 20737 Yukon Street, end of the road. Would you like me to respond to what you?
Sure.
There's a three-car garage. Both our cars typically are outside, but that doesn't mean I understand your point.
Mm-hmm.
The garage is actually larger than the dimension that you have listed.
Yeah, if it's a three-car, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was just saying this was it. The business itself, it's really not a business. It's more of a hobby. I currently have sold cars, and I do just personal cars on a regular basis. I go through them like shoes. And so this isn't a new thing. It's just in order to get a license of business and take a dealer's license, do it legally. I'm still doing it legally because I buy the cars, register them, own them, but I sell them. It's just I always have. I go through cars quicker than most people. As far as the conformance goes, I understand your concern, but I'm not sure if you can put your finger on that. I'm glad to understand it with you. I get your concern. Three-car garage, two cars in the residence, still leaves one. So if you'd like to limit it to a single vehicle, I'm okay with that too.
You mentioned getting an ODOT dealer's license. What's the threshold for that?
There is none. It says that you have to display, you have to have room for one car.
Okay. I understood, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's okay to do sort of a minimal number of cars, but when you get to a certain number a year,
five?
Okay. So when you do five or more per year, you need an ODOT dealer's license?
That's what they recommend.
Okay. Okay.
But that's not a requirement?
I'm not hard and fast, but I've never sold five cars in a year. So I couldn't push that. I know as a kid, when I was younger, I used to do the same thing, buy them and clean them and sell them. Mm-hmm. Lamar Gaudian told me that I had to get a dealer's license after 10. But that's been many years ago. So I've never pushed that maximum. It's not something that I do. I'm just looking for a hobby. This is what I enjoy. The mechanicing side is very limited. I'm more of buy right, clean them up, and sell them to somebody, drive them around a little bit. I like cars. I want them all at the same time, but I can own one at a time. I typically buy things that I'm intrigued by. And so it's kind of, it's really a hobby. People look at it as a business. I don't expect to make any grandiose sums doing this. It's more than anything else, it's entertainment. My wife told me to get a hobby.
She may have been right about that.
This is my hobby.
Right.
During COVID, this is what kept me sane is I did a motorcycle and a car. And I had them inside the whole time, and that's where I spent a deal of my time.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to keep everything. I'm conscious of my neighbors. I want to keep it clean. I don't want to make anybody mad. I'm not in here to have a car lot or traffic or parking. I've got a driveway that will actually fit like nine cars. There's only ever been two in there. We don't get a lot of traffic to start with. Of the three cars that I sold over the last 6 months, I had three people visit. Why? I asked the right price. I'm not here to make the money. I know what the market will bear, and I go to the left of it, and I get one person typically because they call, we have conversations. And so it's not a retail lot. This is simply just a passion.
Yeah, I guess I would say from my perspective, as a general rule, auto sales of any kind are prohibited in the city. And the problem that we can have is whenever, one bad apple ruins a whole bushel. So you may be a responsible guy who's just doing a handful of cars a year and has a three-car garage to start with and so forth and so on. But we have to be sensitive of the precedent that we would be setting to say it's okay to have ODOT dealers licensed auto dealers in a single family neighborhood. And I'm not willing to go there. I'm sorry, I can appreciate what you're doing. And if it really is in such a small scale, I'm not even sure, that you you need a permit for that if it's that small scale. But by coming in and saying...
But what it does for me is, in order to get a dealer's license to actually attend the auto auction,
right,
I have to have a business license.
Right.
So this is...
And that's
predicated on this. It's predicated on that.
Right. I agree with
you. It is small scale, but I'm trying to do all the right things.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I just think an auto dealer's business in a single family residential neighborhood is not, well, I can identify the criteria if you want to, but I can't believe I've bought a lot of cars because I'm a car guy too. I may not go through them as fast as you do, but I go through them pretty regularly. And he's my neighbor, so he knows.
You haven't got rid of any of those cars.
Oh, yeah, I've sold lots of cars.
They're hidden behind the house.
I even had to import one from my son to guard the house when I bought. But I don't recall ever going to buy a house and being invited. Or to buy a car at someone's house and being invited into the garage. You know, the car is outside, you look around outside, you take it for a test drive, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, that's just the way the business operates. And it may not be the way that you do it, but I'm not sure that I'm comfortable that conditions of approval, which are very difficult to enforce, are really going to answer my concerns. Sure. No, yeah, it's up.
I understand your concern. Mm-hmm. Just because it's out of the norm doesn't mean a question. If you could sign a regulation where that's outside of the scope of the city, I understand.
Sure. Sure, I'll just give you a second here.
Have you read the seven conditions recommended by the planner in there? Have you read the seven conditions recommended by the city planner to...
I've read most of the regulations.
No, the seven conditions that to get this...
Yes.
Get this license.
I did read...
About signs and storage and all that kind of stuff. Do you have any questions or problems with those seven conditions?
No. The sign simply is the Oregon...
I'm talking about all of it.
Oh, no.
Storage of materials.
I don't store materials, right. Tires, fluids.
Yeah. All that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
If you're willing to constantly be in line with those seven conditions,
absolutely.
I would
be. Let's see. The number... $1646050 capital B number one small c.
Okay.
Page 5. I think this is of the staff report out of the packet. Let's try to find the findings of whether or not the proposed use is undertaken in a manner that is not detrimental nor disruptive in terms of appearance or operation to neighboring properties and residents. I personally feel that the operation of an auto dealership, even on a small scale, is detrimental or disruptive to a single family residential neighborhood. I don't think the use is compatible with surrounding properties, and that is 16.040(4). I mentioned before, I think you're likely to be pushed into non-conforming status regarding your residential parking. And I'm not trying to, grind away, but you asked.
Again, There is nothing that says something that you cannot have that type of business.
Well,
I don't want
with to, respect.
I don't want to sound rude.
But right.
We're using your basis, your opinion.
So I would say that a little bit differently. Okay. Our zoning code is set up that a use that is not listed as allowed in the zone is prohibited. Okay. Auto repair and auto sales businesses are prohibited in the residential zone. Okay. They're prohibited in most of our zones, even our non-residential zones. Okay. So what you're attempting to do is sort of rebrand that as a home occupation. Okay. To have it be an allowed use in the residential zone.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
But I think that's kind of a reach. I'm talking about selling the car, not mechanicking on the car.
Well,
I think Kurt's representation is a little misconstrued. Also, then wonder, and not trying to be disruptive here.
Right.
But I have a nursing home in my neighborhood that doesn't meet the residential criteria either. So there, we've made some exceptions in some cases.
So the nursing home is allowed outright by state law?
I saw that. But I also have to say, it seems odd that the traffic that it will incur will be in excess of what I ever did.
So I realize it's frustrating when you see things going on and you say, how can that happen? And I'm not really doing that.
I'm just using this as an example.
Right.
We're talking about traffic and disruptive.
Yes.
And I'm saying, but two blocks away, I have a residential care home, which is fine, which will have considerably more traffic, deliveries, and personnel. And yes, it's allowed by the state, but the traffic that incurs what I do is considerably less. Matter of fact, I don't think anybody, we have no objections from neighbors. This is scriptural. I understand what you're saying, but I personally think that you see it differently.
Yeah, obviously we see it differently. I get that.
Yeah, we can agree to disagree.
Other questions for the applicant?
My question's answered.
What about Tom Heitmantek's operation? Is he not in a residential area?
He's in a residential area.
I'm
not sure what he's.
He's auto repair.
I'm not aware of the details of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's owned for his own use. I don't know. But that's what he has. That's what he built his shop for.
Yeah, he's always wrenching on something.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Can we move on to just make sure that nobody's here to present any opposition?
Yes, maybe I'm
contract, take any opposition testimony. The applicant can rebut, and then we can move on to deliberation.
Yeah, maybe I misphrased that. Does anyone have questions for the applicant? I thought that's what they said.
No.
Okay.
Actually, I do. How many cars a year do you sell?
Presently?
Over the last 5 years?
Probably 3 years.
And how long have you been doing that at this residence?
Oh, I've been at the residence for 5 years.
Okay. Okay. As Kurt said, we'll now open it up to, we have a Matt and we have a Greg Bone online. There's no one here in the audience. Would either Matt or Greg Bone like to speak on this application? If so, you're currently muted. If you unmute, Matt has sent a little whatever saying that.
No, thank you.
No comment. nothing from Mr. Bowen. Okay. Any more questions for Kurt? Okay.
I just want maybe just a point about the procedure and you know, your ability to make the decision. It is a conditional use permit, so all type 2 home occupations go through are reviewed through a conditional use permit process. So that is a discretionary decision, as the chair pointed out. So you do have the ability to make a decision on those discretionary criteria. Even if a proposal meets all the objective criteria, you still have the ability to make that decision under the subjective criteria that the chair has pointed out.
Can I ask one specific question? Point 4 of the 7 points says there should be no exterior storage of vehicles of any kind. One commercially licensed vehicle may be parked outside of the structure. Does that mean that no vehicles for sale are permitted to be stored outside of the garage?
That's correct.
Right. In a commercial vehicle.
And that's just a restatement of the home occupation criteria.
And the commercial vehicle is not a vehicle for commercial sale, but a commercial vehicle, like a truck.
A service truck.
Okay.
Something of that nature. You have somebody who works for a contracting business or something like that uses their work truck and parks it at home. That's the intent of that standard.
Okay.
But other than that, he wouldn't be able to store any of his vehicles that he is selling outside of the garage.
Okay.
Any more questions for Matt or the applicant Kurt for the applicant before we close the hearing? Any last comments from the applicant?
No, thank you for your time.
Okay, we will close the public hearing at 7:37, and now we'll have our deliberations. Did you want to say something, Jim?
Well, my initial, I'll say something. My initial response to this thing was, neither. But after reading this and talking to this gentleman, I am more inclined to allow it. The only concern I have is opening it for Mr. Martin. We'll possibly open up the floodgates for other options, and that's the major concern.
Yes,
as Matt was pointed out, we have very little ability to police this sort of thing.
That's totally my major concern, and I'm frankly not. I appreciate your explaining why you feel you need this formal permit, because you need this. And I understand you feel like obviously you need to get access to the auctions. But we're always very sensitive in this sort of line of work to setting precedents that someone else is going to take advantage of. And it is unfortunate, but again, I'm not convinced that if you're flipping two or three cars a year, you know, that requires all of this. Because in my mind, that is more of a hobby.
Yeah, but it still prevents him from getting access to the auction, which is one of your major goals.
Right, but it's kind of a...
It's a catch-22.
Yeah, it's a catch-22, whether you want to be a formal, you know, car flipping business or you want to be a hobby. And there's lots of people, myself included, that are frustrated by the inability to go attend those auctions. But, you know, there it is. As an individual, I'm not welcome.
Could there be any other way to handle access to the car auctions?
There's a many. There's a subscription type based thing that they frown upon it. I looked into it. It's kind of a buy a pass by aligning yourself with the dealer. It's price prohibitive. It's a strange game that they've kind of locked down to the average individual.
Yeah.
But the difference between that and what I do is, you know, is potentially getting it for less and selling it for less. You know, buying cars right now, and you've seen it, the average car you used to be able to make reduced profit on, but used car market has just skyrocketed. And so the days of what it used to be are really turned into Craigslist and finding yourself a respectably used vehicle at a good rate. It's diminished. It's almost non-existent. It's kind of like, you know, it's the unicorn anymore. I still look at it. But the only other avenue then to find that same margin, and the reason why I like to buy select few that I would own, I never buy something that I wouldn't be able to keep. Right? That's criteria. The other one has to be very good shape. And so those types of cars, they've like evaporated. So then you have to up the year. If you up the year, then you're looking at, you know, it's a greater sum. And again, you can't play retail. So it kind of takes any fun out of the game. I never make much on anything. I always make some. But it's not like I'm out there to make all the money. So without the dealer's license, the access, then it just kind of collapses the house of cards. I can still do it, but it's just so, it's challenging. It's getting more challenging. And you can't find a used Toyota for under $6,000. Not that I don't, but I'm just saying. You've all seen the prices of vehicles. They're used, it's already hard. And they're asking that for bad cars. So this is an opportunity, and that's why I was exploring it. Mm-hmm. The other way was, I'm doing the right thing. I'm laying it all out there, and I'm showing you that. I've had conversations with my neighbors. They all know me. I keep my house clean as my yard is immaculate. I have a competition with my retired neighbor over grooming the lawn. So it's not like I'm going to detract from it, but I do understand the flip side of it is, and it's something we all have to bear. If you offer it to one, you have to offer it to them all.
Thank you.
But make them do what I'm doing.
The catch is, that sounds great, but we don't have a staff of referees to make sure that everyone's following the rules. And so...
not to cut you short.
Go ahead.
If you get any reports of negative activity, then you just pull the license. And so there you go. And the neighbors are your police. It's not that you have to be police. And the last thing I want is a bad or mad neighbor. So it's really, it benefits me to make it work like I'm describing to you, so that I don't have people next to me that are angry.
I understand that. In a perfect world, that would work. In our imperfect world, again, you said it very well, if you give it to me, you have to allow it to everyone, or everyone who wants it, okay? And that sets up a huge administrative job for us that often becomes very problematic. And,
job.
Pardon?
But you haven't, this is purported, but you haven't tried it. And there are conditions that I would...
Well, with respect, I've been in this line of work for almost 25 years now, mm-hmm. okay? I've been a volunteer at this city for at least 15. Trust me, we've tried it, and I understand the implications of what happens when you give something to some person and a bunch of other people want the same thing, okay?
We've had some businesses that have formed in the residential area.
Yes.
And it didn't end well, you know.
I'm sorry for that. And so those are the people that detract and take away from me.
Yes.
I understand your point.
Yeah.
I would hope that, and you guys can talk about it, but I'd hope that you consider instead of conditional basis. You can limit it to whatever you like and condition it to that single car still gives me access to auto auction. We could cut this down to one person a week. I don't care. It is that single golden ticket that Charlie Bucket got to the Walking Factory.
Yeah.
And this is what's stopping me, just this. And it's not that I want an auto lot. I just want to go pick the one I want at the price that I can't get. So think about it, guys. I know you can debate it. I'm not looking for an answer now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd really like if you took a little better consideration and then just think and tell me. I'm okay waiting on this. I get
okay.
you.
Well, we typically make a decision.
Are we still now. Waiting? Yeah. Since we've been talking the whole time, but I thought we were done. Right.
Well, I wanted to leave, you know, the floor open, and if that was a mistake to give him another opportunity to speak, I apologize. Not sure we can, if you have anything else to say.
No,
before.
You're good.
All right. So, you know, so
I'll take the voice of being a proponent for the applicant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is the exact behavior we want in this city for someone to go through and do the process correctly. I think fear of somebody else is a valid determination. This is somebody who's going through the process and doing everything correctly and is proposing something with conditions that will be met, and they can be that way. So I think this is the type of behavior we want to promote. And I'm all for it.
Okay. Anyone else like to speak?
I'm also for it. I think creating opportunity is something that I would like. I like to see here people that want to create a business and flip cars. That's great. So I'm for it. I think, like Joe's or like Bill said, I think this is things I don't want people to, you know, not see the opportunity because of the bureaucracy in place. I do understand what you're saying, Joseph, but I think I'm for a small business, so I'm for it.
I think as long as the conditions are met, it's negligible to the neighbors, and the neighbors are fine with it. And it's no different than what we did on the other side of town when we put a barn and cows in the city limits. That's there. So if you want to pull that thing, that's fine too. But I don't think it's going to cause an upwelling that we're going to turn into a full town of auto dealers. This is a hobby farm, right? And following rules, doing the process.
Other comments?
I was dead set against this when I read it. For all of the precedent reasons. And the fact that you have run this for the last 5 years and not incurred the ire of your neighbors, and that you spoke with them before coming here to make sure that you dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's, speaks about the integrity that you say you will show in the future. Everybody comes here and says, I totally am going to follow all the rules. You've shown that you have followed those guidelines. I think taking you at your word that limiting it to one car and one person a week is a completely fair limit based on your use and would set a significantly restricted precedent for anybody in the future. As well as if this turns out to have been a catastrophic failure of precedent, we can in the future explicitly prohibit it. Say, we thought this was going to work out. It ended up being the worst case scenario, and now nobody can. I appreciate that it's not the gentleman's point of view to my right, you have shown me that you deserve the benefit of the doubt here, not that everybody does.
So I think what you're saying, Craig, is that you would like to approve it, but perhaps revise condition 3.
Is it 3?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Condition 3 to one vehicle and one customer.
Good.
A duel.
Yeah, that's cool.
That makes me feel better.
Okay. I typically don't have anybody walk away.
Okay, so give me a second. We got to figure out how to write this because it's a little customer. So instead of, I'm going to strike, if you're with us, Kurt, condition 3, strike 5 per day and substitute 1 per week.
Okay.
And then
the other should be fine, shouldn't it?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean when you say the other. The other conditions?
Yeah, the 10 p.m., 8 p.m.
The rest of that.
Okay.
But, so just one point about the hours of operation. You know, that's what the type 2 home occupation criteria say. But if you notice that
I see.
10 p.m. and 8 p.m. That's usually when people are, when other neighbors are going to be home. So you might consider a condition to limit client visits to normal business hours.
I have a day job.
We need some evening.
Again, I've bought a lot of cars, not so many of them during regular business hours.
Yeah, exactly.
But the one vehicle at a time thing, I don't...
Even the one person I'm cool with.
Yeah, so I just want to figure out a way to write one vehicle at a time into the conditions. I don't see a condition to tag on to, so...
Make it adequate.
Yeah, we'll do a 8. Okay, so no more than one vehicle in inventory at any shall be. Let's see. The inventory shall be no more than one vehicle at a time.
Yeah, that worked.
Does that work for you, Bill?
That work for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably going to happen that way most of the time anyway.
It does. I can't remember when I've ever had more than one at a time that I wanted to stop.
Grow two more arms.
Beamer, I'll tell you.
Okay,
hold on a second. It should be limited to...
what are you a fan of?
Vehicle.
Depends. I mean, there's all kinds of things that strike my list.
Okay, so how does this sound as a new condition number 8, gentlemen? The inventory shall be limited to one vehicle at any time.
That's okay with me.
Good.
Okay, I see nods all around. You get that, Kurt?
Or should I reread it? I'm typing it right now.
Okay, I'll read it again a little more slowly for you. This is new condition number 8. The inventory shall be limited to one vehicle at any time.
Got it.
Yeah, this is a precedent I can live with. Mm-hmm. Okay, so don't say thank you just yet. Are we ready for a motion?
I'll read one. So just reading off of the sheet here. So I make a motion to approve the home occupation permit file number HO24-01 for an auto resale business as determined by the Planning Commission, stating how the application satisfies all the required criteria and with revisions to condition 3 to one customer at a time and adding condition 8 to one vehicle in inventory at a time and all other conditions as stated. I motion for approval as such.
I second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Grupp and a second by Stewart. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
I abstain.
Okay, now you can thank us.
Thank you. And you won't participate.
Yeah, it's not you we're worried about.
So then there's the limitation that you can set forth for the next person that can set them to do it.
Yes.
It's so small scale.
Yeah.
That it will not work for the
unique place. It's a hobby.
It is a hobby.
Hobbies are good. What is it? I read Rod Stewart's memoir recently. Said his dad always taught them that every man needs a job, a hobby, and a sport. His hobby was toy trains, miniature trains, and his sport is soccer. Thank you for coming in.
I appreciate it, guys.
Good luck to you.
You're welcome to stick around.
I'll drop in and say thank you again sometime. Appreciate it.
Okay, and we'll... We'll get a new decision typed up and signed and mailed out in the next couple of days.
Sir,
okay. Now we move on to item 8, old business. Item 8A is the airport land use update. Two things of note: the technical advisory committee number 2 meeting is scheduled for the 18th. I need you to put together a Zoom invitation for everyone or for me to submit. And I'm talking to Stuart now. Can you do that? Or just like...
If I didn't already do it.
Or did you already do it?
Yeah, I think you did.
Possibly. I can confirm though.
3 to 4.
Yeah.
Did you get an actual like Zoom electronic invitation that you can just click and it's on your calendar? Or
I thought so.
I haven't seen the agenda though.
Fair enough.
Confirm, though.
Okay. So yeah, well, we don't have an agenda yet from Jerry.
Okay.
Okay. So everyone's invited to attend that. Surprising turnout last time. And then on the other litigation, the only news is that tomorrow morning, the Court of Appeals is going to issue its decision in the 2012 Master Plan APA case, which has been about a year and a half since we got dismissed. And when I say we, I mean myself and the city and the friends groups had their APA. And when I say APA, I mean Administrative Procedures Act, case dismissed by the Marion County Court of Appeals. And that decision was by the Marion County Circuit Court. And that decision was appealed to the Oregon Court of Appeals, which is going to issue its decision tomorrow morning. If we win, okay, then in a couple months, the Court of Appeals will send the case back to the Circuit Court. to consider our arguments on the merits about the 2012 master plan procedure side, not the land use side, but the procedural side. And if we lose, we'll have to see if we're persuaded. But I don't think we're going to lose. So that's kind of what's been happening. The other thing that's going to happen coming up is on March 12th at 5 p.m. is the next Airport Master Plan Public Advisory Committee meeting on Zoom, only on Zoom. If you want to register for the meeting, and you can register anytime up to the meeting, you can go on the Department of Aviation's website and do that. If you need help following your way there, let me or Stuart know. The agenda for that meeting is a review of the first three chapters of the master plan. Any questions about that? Or any of those things? Okay. I talked about the economic opportunities analysis on item 8B there. And we have a new, and apologies to you, Kurt, I made a mistake today. Stuart asked me for the EOA and or the buildable lands inventory, and I just said, send what you got. And Kurt responded later in the day to send out the latest and greatest one that's had a couple edits to it.
So everybody here would have gotten that
way
to send out.
Yeah. So everyone got the right one?
No, everybody got the old one.
So if you could send everyone the new one.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Council as well.
So. And again, from my perspective, this is an iterative document. It's an open source document. For example, we were supposed to have a meeting tonight with regard to the Hellhake property that was proposed for boat storage. And perhaps, Greg, that's your next door neighbor. I think perhaps that's why you were here tonight. Well, maybe not. But in any case, that...
Well, that's the one across from me, then.
Well, across from you and a little to the south.
It's on the other side of...
It's on the west side of 99, a little to the south of you.
Okay, so south of the PECI, too.
Yeah, and it may wrap around the back of PECI, too. I'm not sure. But anyhow, that project has fallen through. So that's why it wasn't on our meeting agenda tonight as planned.
No.
And so the buildable lands inventory has been revised to indicate that property is vacant. And Greg, you should buy it and expand your business, or tell all your friends to bring their businesses there.
Why did it fall down?
A variety of things. And part of it needs some DEQ work, and there's some uncertainty about that.
Sure.
And we'll interest rates are kind of pretty high on a list of any project that people decide, I can do it. So that's my update on the EOA. And again, please look at the buildable lands inventory. We really do need everyone to sort of tell us what they know, and because there's a lot of properties. And
do you have a date for the next meeting yet?
The 18th.
Oh, that's the rest of me.
Yeah.
Okay. And you got all the date and times and everything?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
And it'll be here and on Zoom.
You'll find out with the climate that he's traveling.
Okay. Is he in a reasonable time zone?
No.
Bill knows how that goes. Okay, anything else for the good of the order? Okay, thank you. We'll adjourn at 7:58 p.m.